Hi, this is Bob Cooper at Elite, and I would like to say thanks so much for listening to this program, and thanks so much for your trust in us. You have my promise. Your confidence in us is something that we'll never take for granted. Now, I know that you're anxious to get started, but before we do, there are a couple things that I'd like to mention. First of all, I realize there are a number of really good reasons for you to want to know the value of your business. You might be getting ready to put your business on the market. You might be looking to raise some capital. You might be bringing on a partner, or you just might be curious as to how much all of your hard work over the years has actually paid off. All good reasons, by the way. Now, although I can't tell you what the value of your business is, what I can tell you is this. The man that you're about to hear is going to give you an amazing insight as to all the things that you'll need to know when it comes to establishing the value of a shop just like yours. His name is Hal Janke. And not long ago, I had the opportunity to sit down with him and do this interview, along with another interview on how to actually sell your shop for top dollar. For those of you that don't know Hal, he's owned and operated auto repair facilities. He's been a business broker for decades. He's listed in all the broker guides as an industry expert. And you got to love this one. Hal sold more auto repair shops than anyone else in North America. So if you're not driving, then I would encourage you to do this. Put this audio on pause and get out a pad and a pen, because what you're going to hear is an interview with Hal Janke, the one person on this entire planet who knows the most about establishing the value of an auto repair shop. You ready? All right, let's go listen to what Hal has to say.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to see you. It absolutely is great to see you.
It's really good to see you, too.
Life is good.
It's been really great, really great.
Hal, you know, I've known you for a number of years, and I know that you've been a business broker literally for decades. And I don't believe, and I'm genuine when I say this, I don't believe that there's a guy anywhere on this planet that's probably sold more aftermarket businesses. I'm speaking specifically to auto repair businesses, auto service businesses, tire businesses, oil service businesses, and you. You are the star when it comes to those kind of sales. So one of the questions, the reason I'm mentioning that, is one of the most common questions that I hear from guys and gals in the auto service business is, Cooper, how in the world do you go about establishing the value of a business? Not how do you build the value, how do you sell it for the most money, or anything like that, but how do I figure out where I'm at right now on this given day with the value of my business? Boy, if anybody can answer that question, it's you.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. There's actually three common methods to determine the value of a business, and one of those is income approach, the other is a comparable approach, and the last is an asset value approach. Those are your three most common.
Is there anything in particular you could tell us about any of those? Like, what is the most common, or is there one that you particularly recommend?
Yes, there is. The one that's used in the most in the marketplace is the income approach. And the income approach is derived from where we take a certain period of time, let's say 3 or 4 years of financial information. We take other variables that go into that equation as well. And then there's a multiplier that we use in the industry to determine the value of that business. So that would be the most frequently used approach is the income approach.
So let's talk about that, if we could, for a little bit. Let's talk about the income approach to establishing the value of an auto service facility. Let's talk about the financial end of it. Tell us about books. Tell us about financial records. Tell us about if I had Elite Auto Service and if I was looking to sell that business, what are some of the things that I would take into consideration in establishing that value?
I would ask you if you could bring forth your last 3 years' tax returns and your last 3 years' profit and loss statements. If you could bring forth a list of your equipment, as well some information about your business, what we call a business history, an executive summary, information on your employees, the longevity, the positions that they hold in the company. But the most critical parts of this is the profit and loss statements and the tax returns. They're both integral to each other. If you only have tax returns without the profit and loss statement, I would recommend that you definitely bring forth profit and loss statements. If you are not doing that at this time, to have your CPA or your accountant on a monthly basis, and also on an annual basis, do your profit and loss statements.
So we need, in order to establish that, I want to make sure that I'm understanding you clearly, in order to establish the value of Elite Auto Service, one of the things that we would need to have is, you would need to have the books, you would need to have my financial statements for the past X and number of years. Is it safe to say one of the things that would be taken into consideration would be the past performance and the trend of the past performance? Sales increasing, sales decreasing, profits going up, profits going down. So when you look at my financial statements, that's one of the things that you would consider.
It is real important, the history of the revenues slash sales, primarily over the last 3 years, that there is some consistency in the sales, that hopefully they continue to increase, or at least they're on a level that we don't see any decrease or major decrease in sales.
So this is going to have an impact on the sale price of the business?
Yes, absolutely.
The past performance history in sales and in income as well, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, what about if I decide to sell my business and relative to carrying back a part of the note? What if I want to sell it for cash or carry back a part of the note? Is that also something that's taken into consideration when it comes to establishing the value of the business?
It does have a direct effect, Bob. You, if possible, as the seller of a business, if you feel strong enough about the individual that's coming in to purchase the business, the buyer, and he has a strong credit report, he has a good net worth, I would recommend carrying a certain portion of that final sale price of the business. This absolutely gives you not only an interest on that note, but it also gives you a greater value because you are willing to carry the note. Whereas if you required all cash, that does have an adverse effect on the overall value of the business. It could decrease the value as much as 10 or 15%.
So what you're saying is that if I had, let's say, this hypothetical Elite Auto Service, and if I was selling the business, and if I was asking all cash for it, then that sends a signal to the potential buyer that, gee, I want to get away from this business, I want to get out of it. But if I'm willing to take back a part of that sale price as a note, then that's showing the customer that I believe that the business really has some legs underneath it and it's going to go on for a while and that it's going to be a successful operation for a good period of time.
Absolutely correct. Buyers like to see the confidence that the seller has in their own business, even though they are looking forward to selling that business. And it really it makes it more of a union between the buyer and seller. Mm. The one thing that I'd like to add to that is that on your and the profitability of the company, if the revenues are status quo over a period of several years, but your profits are not, you may also want to go back in and see what percentage or spike in percentage of expense is pulling down the profits. Did you bring on additional payroll? Is your gross profit picture, has it diminished or decreased over the last several years? If it has, you need to definitely address those issues.
Great comments, Hal. Really great comment. Talk to us about the location and talk to us about, I guess, the people that work within our companies.
The location, as you mentioned, but also the identity or business name. I've seen it in the past where I've sold businesses that have been established for 10, 15, 20 years, and the name remains the same. And it really brings forth a sense of confidence in the buyer that he is buying an established business. This is definitely going to be a factor that would enhance that business value. As far as location goes, if you have high visibility, if you're on a corner or even in the middle of the block, but high visibility with a heavy traffic count, that's also a plus. Mm-hmm.
So the greater the brand, the greater the price. Am I pretty safe in saying that?
Yes, you are. And I think for all the people out there that may be thinking in the future of selling their business, and the business has a personal name to it, like Joe's Auto Center, that people see and recognize that. Keep in mind that if you allow the buyer to maintain that name, even though it's a personal name, that it will create greater goodwill factor in the overall value of that business.
What are some of the other things we need to consider?
If you have been in a geographical location for 10 or 15 years and the area around you has continued to build up with commercial, residential, retail businesses, it's going to have a positive effect on the goodwill factor. Mm-hmm. However, there are some businesses that I've seen in the past where the geographical location in a 1 mile and 3 mile radius has actually declined and to such a degree that unfortunately it'll have an adverse effect on the overall value.
So when it comes to establishing the value of a business, one of the things that we need to take into consideration is what's occurring outside of the business, 3-5 mile range in our what we call area dominant influence where we do business. Is that right?
That's correct.
Growth is good. Growth allows us to establish a higher resale value of the business.
That's correct, Bob. And I want to also add to that comment is that if the demographics have decreased in that 3-5 mile radius from where they were when you originally went into that area, it's going to also have an adverse effect. And you as the business owner, you've probably realized that already, where the demographics have decreased to such a degree that maybe they're not going forward with all the recommended service repairs that should be at that particular time.
Neat stuff, Hal. Neat stuff. So we need to consider brand. We need to consider how long our company has been in business. We need to consider the location of the business, and by that I mean a physical location. Is it on a corner? Does it have high visibility? We need to consider the geographic location. Is it on an upswing or downswing? And we need to consider the demographic. And tell us about other things that we might need to consider when it comes to figuring out what this business is going to sell for.
Well, you have, hopefully, most of the people that are listening to this have a software program or several software programs implemented into their business where it not only covers the repair aspect, but it also has a database that you can store your customer name, an address, phone number, emails.
What else? I'm picking your brain here a little bit, Hal.
Okay.
Tell us some other things that we
need
to consider.
What I've found in the past over the several hundred automotive businesses that I've sold is that it's really important if you have a manager in place to keep that manager. There's a high percentage of people that come into this environment and purchase an automotive service center and do not have automotive experience, but yet they feel comfortable with the revenues, they feel comfortable with the earnings on the business. Mm-hmm. And as long as there's a manager in place with key technicians, they'll go forward and they'll acquire that business.
Mm. So they like to see tenure.
Yes.
When you say a key manager, you're talking about they have to have service advisors or should have service advisors and managers hopefully in place that have been there a while and will have a good probability of staying on with the company. Is that what your suggestion?
That's correct. That's correct. And I know on the larger facilities, you have a manager, you might have a service writer, as you mentioned, and you may even have a shop foreman. Mm-hmm. And keep these people in their position, especially even if you're thinking in the future about selling. Mm-hmm. You want to maintain that relationship so it's ongoing and that your succession plan when you leave the business, there's an easy transition for that buyer coming in.
So good financial data.
Yes.
Setting the value of the business. We need to make sure that we take a good hard look at the financial data. We need to make sure that we have a really good understanding of our brand and how valuable the brand is or isn't. We need to take a really good hard look at the location that we have. We need to look at the geographics of our community. We need to look at the demographics of our community, if I'm understanding it clearly. We need to make sure that we have the right customer database in place. So a facility, if I'm understanding it clearly, a facility that has a really good, robust customer database in place, customer business management software program, they're going to be able to sell their business for more money or ask a higher dollar for it than someone that doesn't have that. And ideally, they need to have management staff in place with a good tenure, been with the company for a while, and a good probability they're going to continue to be with the company for a while. Safe to say?
Safe to say. Those are all great points. And I'd like to add to that, too, that you want to make sure that the opportunity you have in your own environment is that if you are doing $1 million or $2 million a year or greater than $2 million a year in sales revenues, you might even think about doing a business evaluation. It's something that is important from the aspect that when a buyer comes into the picture and they ask, how did you arrive at the value? You have a third party that has shown that this is what the value of the business is. Not in the eyes of the seller or in the eyes of the intermediary, such as myself, but in a third party. You know, it's not critical, but if I wanted to see what the overall top value of my business is, I would definitely want to implement that.
Boy, what great comments, Al. So I have another question for you. Ready? Tell us about some of the other things that you believe in your heart that our listeners need to take into consideration.
One of the things that I feel buyers like to see is a business that has ample capacity space to expand from where it's at right now. And normally, I can bring that forth into the number of service bays that are available, the overall capacity and size of the building and facility. If you have 8 bays, 10 bays, 12 bays, that's always a good number to equate to increased revenues. If you have that number of bays, such as 10 bays, theoretically, if you're even coming close to capacity, you should be doing a minimum of $2 million a year in revenues. And that's a number that I like to see. But then there's also room to increase that number, too, with 10 bays. The other aspect of this that I like to see is that if there are any hidden flaws in your business, that you bring them forth at the time that you're speaking to the business broker / intermediary. It's really important that we uncover those at the very beginning rather than trying to hide them. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that, Bob.
Yeah, neat. Good.
One of those examples is if you have any contamination issues, if you have any situations with the EPA, if you have any pending lawsuits against the business or any pending actions against yourself from one of the employees, that would be the time to bring it forth to that intermediary at the very beginning when you're sitting down with him to release this information. It's very important.
So when it comes to establishing the value of the business, these are all things that could have a negative impact.
That's right, Bob. But, you know, I want to add to that, that if you have a professional business intermediary that you're working with, these issues that I brought up, they don't have a real strong adverse effect on the value, especially when we bring them forth at the beginning of the meeting with the buyer. Okay, if it's laid out early, it's not a problem. It's when these things come up during escrow or during the overall process of selling the business where the buyer feels that they were hidden, and he feels that I should maybe readjust my offer price because you didn't tell me these things at the up front at the very beginning.
Hey, Hal, great stuff. I want to make sure that I understand you clearly then, all right? We need to make sure, if we're selling a business, we need to make sure that we have all of the right financial data in place is the best way of saying it. We need to make sure that we take a good hard look at all of our income statements, of our past performance. We need to make sure that we don't allow our emotions to get in the way, and we really look at this from a very logical point of view. We need to make sure that we understand whether our sales are going up or whether they're going down, whether our income is going up or whether or not it's going down. We need to take into consideration whether or not we're willing to carry a note back on the company. Outside of the financial area, one of the things that we need to look at is our brand. How powerful is our brand or unpowerful is our brand? We need to consider our location. Are we on a corner of a street, in the middle of the street? Are we a hidden location? We need to consider our geographic area. Is it on an upswing? Are people moving in or are people moving out? We need to think about our demographics, the spendable income. Are people buying the kind of cars and taking care of the kind of cars that they need to in our community for us to continue on? We need to think about our team. How long have our people been with us, and especially key management staff, service advisors? Do they have tenure with us? And is there a probability that they're going to be with us for a good period of time? You had mentioned that we need to consider, do we have room to grow? Do we have the bays, or can we expand the building and put on more bays so the new buyer could look at it and go, wow, I could grow this company. I could take it from where it is, and there's actually a footprint here on real estate where I can continue to grow. What are some of the other things that you think a listener needs to really take into consideration when it comes to trying to figure out what their business should be selling for?
Bob, that was all great, and there are a couple of more variables that will have some impact, not greatly, but some impact on the overall value. And one of those is real estate, if you own the real estate versus if you're leasing the business property. If you are leasing, I would suggest that before you actually put the business on the market, that you negotiate with the landlord for at least another 10-year lease. In other words, if you have 3 years left on your lease, go to the landlord and say, you know what, I'd like to get a couple of more 5-year options to my existing 3 years. In the eyes of a buyer, now you have theoretically 13 years instead of 3 years. That will definitely enhance the value and give you greater goodwill in that value price of your business. The other factor is if you do own the property, make sure that you are expensing out a certain rent factor back to yourself as an expense. Don't just own the property, which is great, but not charge yourself, you know, a fair rent factor. Because the buyer's going to come in there, and if he doesn't see a rent expense, even if he owned the property, he's going to go ahead and probably expense that out, or his CPA will, and it'll probably be higher than the actual rent factor should be. So those are two factors. The other one, Bob, is your inventory and your equipment. Try and keep your equipment, clean and good working order. Try and keep it updated as much as you can. And I would not recommend going out and leasing any new equipment if you have any thoughts of exiting your business or selling your business in the next 12 to 24 months, unless you absolutely have to. Try and have your equipment paid off if you can. If it isn't paid off, at the close of escrow, you can take some of the proceeds and pay off that equipment for the buyer coming in. As far as your inventory level goes, most auto centers that I'm selling right now have inventory in the neighborhood of $15,000 to $25,000, and that would be at cost. Try and keep your inventory updated. If you have any obsolete inventory, try and sell it off if possible.
So one of the things that we need to take into consideration is obviously the real estate, whether or not we own the real estate. We need to take into consideration the lease. The amount of years that are left on the lease or not left on the lease is one of the things that's going to influence the value of the business. Equipment is going to influence the value of the business. I presume it's not going to have a dramatic influence on the value of the business. So is that safe to say?
That's exactly right, Bob, because your equipment is integral to the profitability of that business. So what I like to do is I like to put a maximum multiplier on a business that warrants that multiplier. But in doing so, the value of that equipment is going to be equated into that high side multiplier.
Got it.
One of the things that I feel is important is the position of the owner that's in that business. Is he an active technician? Is he an active service writer or service manager? Or is he truly an entrepreneur who puts people in the position and is able to delegate to these people? If the owner is a technician and he does, let's say, a good amount of the service work, then we're going to have to make a situation in that case where we would have to equate the value of a technician coming in to replace him. And then we would have to debit that against the earnings of the business. If the owner has his son working in the business or his daughter or a relative, and at the sale of the business, that family member is going to leave, they're going to need to be replaced. And so the buyer coming in is going to have to find a good person to replace that individual. I would recommend that if you do have that situation, if you have a son or daughter or a relative, that you maintain their presence in that business after the sale for at least 6 months to a year or longer if they feel comfortable with the new buyer, but at least a minimum of 6 months. The other thing is in that situation, Bob, that family member is probably also going to need to sign off on a non-compete agreement. I know we haven't addressed that because normally it doesn't have a real adverse effect on the overall goodwill or value of the business. But keep in mind that that's probably going to be a requirement of the buyer. If there's a specific reason for the sale of the business other than semi-retirement or retirement or maybe just other business interest, and what I mean by that is, are they selling the business for a partner breakup? Are they selling the business because of a divorce? Those issues can have an adverse effect on the overall value from this aspect. That in that case, there's usually lawyers involved, and the lawyers are dictating on the other party's side what they feel the time frame should be. And keep in mind that if you start pressing on the sale of a business for a time issue, you're probably going to take an offer that you may not have taken if you didn't have a position of a divorce or a partnership breakup.
Let's say, for an example, I have Elite Auto Service in San Diego, California. And let's say that I want to establish the value of my business, and I take a good hard look at my financial data, and I know where I'm at. I have 3 years of recorded information. I know whether or not the sales have been going up or they've been going down. I've taken a look at whether or not I'm willing to carry a note on this business. I've taken a look at my brand, and I really feel comfortable with the brand that I have. And let's say we've been in business for 20 years and we have a really great reputation in the community. Let's say we have a business that has really good visibility. Let's say that we're in a geographic area that is in a growth side, as an example. Let's say that our demographic is just where it needs to be. The guys and gals have the spendable income and they're our ideal targeted customers. Let's say the business has a good management staff in place and they've been around for a long, long time and they're going to stay on with the company for a long time. Let's say we have a good lease in the company, and let's say that we have the room to grow, as you had suggested earlier. Let's say we have the ability to expand our sales and expand our footprint on our real estate. Let's say we have really good equipment. Let's say we have a good amount of inventory. Let's say that there are no skeletons in the closet, no pending lawsuits or anything like that. Let's say that there are no family members in the business. Let's say Bob Cooper owns Elite Auto Service, and let's say that Bob Cooper, when he sells the business, he's an entrepreneur. He doesn't function as a technician or as a service advisor. So there's no void that has to be filled, no position that has to be filled. Let's say he's not compelled that he has to sell. Let's say there's no divorce or litigation or anything like that that's forcing him to sell. With all of that said, Hal, you had mentioned a couple times that there are a number of different ways to establish a value of a business. You had mentioned earlier on that there are three different ways. One is the income approach, one is through comparable businesses, and one is through asset value. Just looking at everything that I've laid out for you at this point, I know that there are multipliers, and you had alluded earlier to some of the multipliers that are out there, and I know that no matter what answer you would give at this point, there's nothing that's going to ever be carved in stone. But can you give us some just generalities in the broadest sense as to the impact that multipliers could have on a business? As an example, if a business isn't doing well, it could be a multiplier as low as. If a business is doing really well, it could be a multiplier as good as. And I'm just not looking for anything, again, carved in stone, but just some general feelings that you have when it comes to multipliers.
Absolutely, Bob, and that's a great question to bring up. Multipliers in this industry do have a strong effect on the overall value. I've seen multipliers on some businesses that maybe are not doing as well as the seller would like, and that multiplier is maybe as low as 1 to 1.5 times the earnings of the business. Mm. On the other hand, if you start going into a picture where...
You're talking about annual earnings.
Yes, annual earnings, correct. On the other hand, Bob, if you go into the a situation where you have earnings on an annual basis averaged, let's say over the last several years, of $100,000 or $150,000, then you're probably going to be looking at a multiple of 2 to maybe 2.5 times. And if you have earnings on an annual basis of on an average of $300,000 or greater, your multiple is going to be higher than 2.5 times. It could be as high as 3 times. Once again, though, you have all the variables that you spoke of that will come into play to bring a professional into what the multiplier should be. And that professional Once again, should have experience in the automotive industry, whether he's a business broker, business intermediary. I suggest that you not use your CPA as a rule of thumb to come up with a value. CPAs are professional in what they do, but they don't sell many businesses.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
You ready for one more?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the other two ways of establishing the value of a business. One is comparable values, and the other is asset value. So what can you tell us about comparable values of businesses?
Comparables are not a real common way of determining the value of a business. In some instances, we can use comparables. I would prefer that we use it in conjunction with the income approach. But sometimes there's situations, Bob, where you really need to use just comparables. Mm-hmm. And that is where you're in a situation where you're looking at profit and loss statements and you have revenues of, let's say, $1.5 million a year. That's your sales revenues. But your bottom line earnings are not showing the true picture. What I like to do in that particular instance is I like to go out and look at comparables of other auto service centers that have $1.5 million in revenues and see what they've sold for. And that way there, I can show that to a potential buyer and they feel more comfortable when they know they're paying a price on the revenues rather than on the earnings. Mm. When it comes to asset value only, Bob, that's a distressed sale normally. And what we do in that situation is we try and get the highest value for the tangible assets of the business where there's no goodwill involved.
Boy, what great stuff, Hal.
Thank you.
Not good stuff, great stuff.
Appreciate it.
You know, before we wrap up this interview, I want to make sure that there are no stones unturned for our listeners. I want to make sure that they're able to pick your brain as much as they can through this interview. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to take just a moment and do a little bit of a recap here, and you tell me if I'm missing anything, all right?
All right.
In order to establish the value of a business, and we're specifically talking about auto service businesses, auto repair businesses at this point, one of the things that we always need to consider are what we'll call the financial data, the books. What do we actually see? Do we have clean books? What's shown on those clean books? All the cash is reported. All the income is reported. When they look at those numbers, is there a trend? Is it going up? Is it going down in sales? Are the profits going up? Are they going down? We need to be able to take a look at whether or not the owner is willing to carry back a note. Because if he or she is willing to carry back a note, if I understood you clearly, that sends a message to the buyer that the seller really believes in the potential and the future of the business. So they sort of have skin in the game is the best way of saying it. So that's one of the things that they need to consider. Second thing that they need to consider, that we need to consider in selling auto service businesses, is the brand. How powerful is a brand? How good is a brand? How strong is a brand in the community? How recognizable is a brand in the community? We need to consider the location. Actually, where is this business located? Is it hidden? Is it behind a corner? Is it on a corner? Is it an auto service mall? We need to consider the geographic community that we're in. Is it on an upswing? Is it on a downswing? Are people moving in, people moving out? What's going on in the community? We need to look at the customer demographic. Is there spendable income up? Is there spendable income down? Are these the guys and gals that are going to be in the future this new business owner? Management staff, you had mentioned. Have they been with us for a long time, and is there a good probability that our key employees, key techs, key service advisors, key managers are going to continue to stay on with the company? One of the things that we need to look at is the real estate. Do we own it? What are we going to be able to do with the buyer when it comes to them having that footprint? Are they going to be able to have a good lease or a great lease? How many years are they going to have available to them? What kind of options are going to be available to them? Equipment. Is it workable equipment? Is it good equipment? Is it clean? Is it doing what it needs to do? The inventory that we have is going to have an impact, even though it may be little, it's going to have an impact on the business. What about us and our role in the company? Are we technicians? Are we service advisors? Are we managers? When we exit the business and sell the business, is the buyer going to have to come in and fill that void, to use your terms? Is he going to have to find a replacement? Is he going to be interested in doing that? What kind of financial impact is that going to have? What about family members? Do we have children that are working in the business? if we sell the business, is there going to be blood still in the business? And is the buyer going to be able to deal with the blood that's still in the business? What about litigation history with the business? What about skeletons in the closet? Well, what is the motive? Why are we trying to sell this business? When we go through that exercise, we need to then consider the different multipliers that we would use if we're looking at an income-based business. If we're looking at basing the value, I should say, of the business based on income, we need to consider using the right multiplier. And this is going to be relative to the annual earnings of the company. At this point, is there anything that you think that we failed to address or that I failed to address in this review of the things these guys and gals need to do?
Bob, there's one more thing that I'd like to bring forth, and that is this. You really need to look at all of the variables that we discussed, and you need to have a professional broker that can look at those and say, okay, here's what I feel the multiple should be that would bring forth the highest possible value for your business. And it's brought forth by these variables that we discussed in regards to your business. And whether it's a multiple of 1 to 3 times, make sure that he has a reasoning to come up with that multiple. You're only going to have one chance to receive the highest possible value for your business. I would like to see you receive that value without pricing it out of the marketplace. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, Bob. It's been my pleasure. I really enjoy doing this, I wish you the best.
Hal, what an amazing interview.
Thank you.
I knew coming into this that you would just hit the ball out of the park, and you did just that. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Bob.
Great job, Hal.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob again. I hope you enjoyed what you just heard. And an amazing guy, isn't he? As I mentioned earlier, Hal's not only owned and operated auto repair shops, but he's sold more shops than any other broker in North America. An amazing record, isn't it? By the way, if you want to hear Hal's tips on how to sell an auto repair shop, then you owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll find one of the other downloads that we offer is an interview with Hal that's titled Selling an Auto Repair Business for Top Dollar. So if you're at a point where you're ready to sell your business, then I'm going to encourage you to do two things. Invest in the download, and then give Hal a call at his San Diego office. This way you can learn more about how he can help you through the sale process, and you can get top dollar for your business at the same time. You can call Hal at 858-550-9007. If you're looking for help with marketing, with sales, with recruiting, with employee management, or if you're just looking to build a more profitable, successful business, well, I have even more great news for you. We can help you with all of those as well. To learn more about our industry-leading products and services in both English and Spanish, visit our website at www.EliteWorldwideStore.com. This is Bob Cooper of Elite, and I would like to say from the bottom of my heart, thanks again for your trust in us.
This entire audio program, as well as all the associated materials, are protected under both U.S. and international law. It is illegal to copy this program, in whole or in part, to electronically transmit it to a third party, or to use it for any commercial purpose outside of its intended use without the expressed written permission of Elite Worldwide. To learn more about Elite and the terms and conditions of the use of this product, please visit our website at www.EliteWorldwideStore.com.